Let's bow our heads for a word of prayer. Lord God, Heavenly Father, as we come this day to gather together and to worship you, we pray that you might encourage us in our walk of faith in this world that is often difficult, that you would lift us up, that you would help us to see your work, and that you would use us to impact this world for eternity. Lord, open our ears this day and our hearts that we might grow in our understanding and in our faith. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. I want to start off this morning with a question. How are you feeling? We don't always, in fact, I would say almost never, ask that question, at least from the pulpit. It's easy for us as preachers to get up here and to deliver the word and to tell you what you ought to be doing and how you ought to be doing it and what you ought to be thinking, and sometimes we forget that being a Christian, a follower of Jesus, a believer in this world, isn't always easy. In our text today, we see Habakkuk. He's crying out to God for help. And the first question says, "How long shall I cry for help and you will not hear?" Makes you kind of wonder what's been going on in Habakkuk's life. We'd like to know a little bit more of the backstory here, but that's the first chapter and the first verse. What a way to start off. He's a prophet of God, and we can make some educated guesses about what's been going on by what he writes, and we can see that perhaps the people have wandered so far away from God and the people of his culture have forgotten God, and he's out there as a prophet crying out. We might say it's like this: he's out there as a Christian trying to share the truth of God's word, and the world's ignoring him. And it's easy for us to be doing the work of the Lord, and then all of a sudden we step back and we look at the enormity of the task before us. And we pause and we stop. And in discouragement, we might be like the prophet Elijah, who runs off to the cave on the side of the mountain and begins to wonder if it's all worth it, if we're having an impact at all. How you feeling? As a Christian, sometimes we can become discouraged, we can become tired, we can become complacent. And we become those ways oftentimes when we sit back and we question God and we wonder, what is he doing? How long do we have to wait for an answer? Why can't we see an impact that's greater? And so what do we do? We roll up our sleeves at times and we work a little harder and we put in a little more time and a lot more effort and we try to make a bigger difference and a bigger impact, and it seems like we just take three steps backwards. Remember the words of the first hymn that we sang this morning? With the Lord, begin your task. So often we do the work of the Lord and we struggle to do what we think is right and good and salutary, as we might say, and we forget to begin the task, to begin the work, by going to the Lord in prayer. By turning to the God who is the great I Am and saying, Lord, what would you have me to do? How would you have me to live? And how would you have me serve? Now, when we lay that question or those questions before the Lord, we need to also be prepared to listen to the answers. Because sometimes we're not ready for what God is going to say or what God is going to do. When the Lord gets around to answering Habakkuk, he says, write it down so everybody can read it, so that he who runs can read it. That means the words have to be big enough that when you run by, you can see them. It's kind of like a billboard on the highway. Doesn't it drive you nuts when the billboards have such small print you can't read them? Then I got to thinking, well, maybe my eyes should be on the road and not on the billboards. But make it big. And then understand that God is still working his vision for the appointed time, and it's going to come in the proper time. And if it seems slow, wait. See, that's another symptom in our lives. We're people who want everything now. And sometimes God is telling us, wait. How you feeling? We might ask that question of Paul in our second reading today. Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus. And he starts out with wonderful words, and then we begin to understand as he writes these words, he's not in a good place. And yet he writes these words of encouragement to Timothy, not paying attention to his own self, but really trying to be an encouragement. And you might say that Paul is writing these words in courage or with the courage of Christ, because what Paul faces in his life is not a good thing. But he's concerned about Timothy. And I love his words to Timothy because they're good words for us too. That we at times are so inundated with the culture and with the people around us that we forget to be filled with great joy. That we forget to look to Christ first. And that we forget that God has that spirit that he gives to us, a spirit not of timidity, but a spirit of power and love and self-control, a spirit to live in this world and to lift us with his arms of encouragement. Here is Paul, who is sitting in prison, and who has every right to be discouraged, who has every right to go to God and say, what are you doing? I'm sitting in jail again. but he uses the moment of every opportunity in his life to share and to speak of the gospel to those who are guarding him in prison, to those who will listen, to his fellow prisoners. And Paul is always looking, no matter where he's at in his life, to serving God. So how are we feeling? If we're putting the pressure on ourselves to do what we think is good and right and salutary, odds are we are tired and we are worn out and we are perhaps sometimes frustrated, and yet sometimes we have those little glimpses of joy too. But if we begin the Lord, or begin with the Lord in living our lives every day, beginning the day in prayer and opening our lives to the power of the Spirit working through us, and then sometimes even stepping back to watch what God does, we can become greatly encouraged. Paul is writing, "Fan into flame the gift of God, which is in you." Fan into flame this gift of faith that God has given to us, understanding that when we live in that faith and we walk by that faith, that sometimes what God lays before us is not easy. But don't be ashamed of the testimony about our Lord, nor of me, his prisoner, he writes, but share in suffering for the gospel by the power of God. What a job description and a recruitment tool. Come, be a Christian, and then share in the suffering. Like that one. Come, be a Christian, enjoy salvation, and then share in the suffering. Wow. That's kind of opposite sometimes of what we think we ought to be telling people, right? Come, be a Christian, and life will be great and hunky-dory. That dates me a little bit, I know. We look to the I am, to the one who came into this world to suffer for us, who gave his life for us to redeem us from our sins, and who encourages us in our gospel lesson today to be a people of forgiveness and to walk a life of forgiveness. If your brother sins, rebuke him. That's what we're called to do, to call people to task. But if he repents, then forgive him. And here's the one that's hard for us to understand, but if he does it a few more times, even in the same day, and he comes back to you and he says, I repent. It's kind of like teenagers, you know? Or adults. Can you imagine that? 7 times in the same day? He comes back to you having done the same sin and continues to ask for forgiveness. And Christ says, you must forgive him. That's not easy. What do you do with the person that you're trying to deal with on the street who keeps coming back to the mission time and time again? And the circumstances of their life, even with the best encouragement, never seem to change. Even with the best of help, always seem to be the same. You turn them away? No. You feed them. You clothe them. You forgive them. And you encourage them. See, that's what living the faith is all about. It's encouraging one another to live the faith, and it's encouraging those around us to look to the cross of Jesus Christ and to know that they are loved and redeemed. That whatever circumstance we might be in our lives, that we have the opportunity always to encourage others, to look beyond ourselves and to look to others around us. And to know that the testimony that we have to share, the power of the gospel is in our hands and in our mouths to deliver to others, to be an encouragement to them and to do it encourage in our lives, knowing that as we do so, that the Holy Spirit is with us. That's what God has entrusted to us. The simple message of the gospel that reminds us that we're loved. And even on the days perhaps when we're not feeling so good, or maybe we've just feeling like we failed God in our lives, to know that it's okay. That God is with us. And he lifts us up and he encourages us to face this world, and even when the temptations come, to stand against them, not by our own strength, but by the strength of the Spirit who's within us. To be empowered in this world is to live in the courage of Christ every day and to look to the cross every day and know that even in my weaknesses, his strength is made perfect. Sometimes, I know, we behave a little bit like Moses, who when before the burning bush was told by God, you got to go back to Egypt and you got to set my people free. And Moses says, I'm no good at this kind of thing. And God says, that's okay, Moses, because I'll appoint Aaron to help you. And if you remember the story, Moses is raising all sorts of objections, and God says, no, Moses, you're the one I've picked, and you're going to do it. And sometimes in our lives, we might feel like Jonah. I don't want to do this. I just want to take a nice vacation somewhere. And God says, no, Jonah, I've picked you and you're going to do this. Sometimes God says that to us. I've picked you and you're going to do this. But when he does that, he never leaves us alone. He always empowers us with his Spirit, and he guides us on his paths, and his presence is there. And even if we might be like Habakkuk, feeling like God is not there because he's not answering our prayers, we need to wait. Because God's timing is the perfect timing. And God is always working, even when we don't feel like it. Or when we don't sense it. So what do? We remain faithful to the Lord, and we understand that in this world, in this life, there are going to be those times when we don't feel like a good Christian. Or perhaps we don't even feel like doing the work of the Lord. Perhaps we don't feel up to the task to which he's called us. And remember, what we're doing is we're beginning to focus on ourselves and what's all about us, and we forget to focus on God and what's all about him and what he gives to us. Because our strength is found not in here, our strength is found from God. And so we have to listen to his words of encouragement and to know his incredible love for us. And that's where we find our strength. The work of the Lord's always there. And I can tell you, I can't save the whole world. Neither can you. But God can. I can't even make someone believe. Neither can you. But God can. I can't even put a smile sometimes on somebody's face, but God can. And some of you are saying, I don't have the gifts and the skills to serve God. But God can give them to you. And He does. Have courage in this world. Don't be afraid. In a time and an age where the voice of Christians wants to be drowned out by this world, we need to speak with more clarity and with more power and with more strength to share the love of Jesus Christ. To be that beacon of light in a world of darkness. To let the gospel light shine in our words and in our deeds. To help people to see Jesus more clearly, that they might know they're loved by Him. Have courage. Don't be afraid. Go forth in Jesus' name. Amen. Now may the peace of God, which passes all of our human understanding, keep your hearts and minds in the true faith of God in Christ Jesus, and to life everlasting. Amen.